You needn't be a communist to care about your community.
Don't touch that, it's growing. Be careful, you guys.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
However, today it is not with me, it is instead with Bronnie.
Yes, indeed. Earlier this year, Bree Ward and her friend Tess cycled the length of the North Island, cleaning up beaches, recruiting cafes to the Refill website, and talking to schools about the importance of protecting our oceans. I'd talked to Bree, and this is that interview.
So my friend Tess and I cycled around 1,500 kilometres from Cape Reinga to Wellington and talked to 13 schools and over 600 kids about plastic in the ocean and how it ends up there and how we can stop it. We also signed up a bunch of cafes along the way for Refill NZ. We also picked up lots of rubbish on the way and did a few beach cleanups.
And what was it that motivated you to undertake this challenge in the first place?
It was Tess's idea to cycle, and then I thought it was a really great idea, so I told her I'd come along with her. And I don't think either of us really were serious ourselves, but we thought the other person was serious, so it kind of turned into something. And then I was becoming more passionate about plastic use and more worried about the environment, so then I kind of took all these ideas and ran with it.
And what is it that concerns you about the effects on our oceans from our plastic use?
1 million seabirds die from plastic pollution in our seas every year, and 100,000 marine mammals. And it's also a concern for human health as well, because it's making its way into the food chain. Fish have a special oil in their blood which can break down plastic, so they end up having microplastic inside of them, and then we're consuming it. And obviously eating plastic is not going to be good for humans either.
How was it, the physical side of this challenge?
We didn't actually train at all. We have no cycling experience. So that was probably the most difficult thing about it, like adapting our bodies. And then also the stress of logistics and trying to organise where we were going and mapping it out and where we were going to stay that night. And then there was the logistics of organising schools. So really, although it was quite difficult physically, and, you know, we got really sore bums and had a few scary encounters, definitely the emotional side of it was much more challenging.
And what was the idea behind undertaking such a physically demanding challenge?
I guess educating people in communities that other people probably wouldn't get to. So Sustainable Coastlines does really awesome presentations to schools and businesses around Wellington and Auckland, which is where they're based. But getting to the smaller remote towns is not really possible. So it was really cool to be able to do that. And then same with the cafes with the Refill NZ, and also picking up plastic. Like, the reason that we were finding so much plastic on the side of the roads is because nobody stops and gets out and picks up plastic when they're driving, and there's no one walking along these highways. It was actually quite sickening to see how much plastic was on the side of the road.
What was the reception like at the schools that you went to?
Lots of people were really shocked by the information that they were hearing, teachers and students. It was also quite sad seeing the reactions of kids. You know, you feel like you're kind of taking away a little bit of their innocence, but also heartening, because hopefully they're going to go home and tell their parents, let's stop using single-use bags and coffee cups and cutlery and look into alternatives. So hopefully they go home and talk to their parents about it and talk to their communities about it.
I mean, zero waste is becoming such a big trend in cities. Is it maybe taking a while to catch on in rural areas?
I think it really depends on the area. So we found lots of places that did have really cool shops that would help people to be zero waste in refill areas that we didn't expect. But in general, I think that just because there's less resources in those small towns and there's less people, so they're less likely to have caught on as quickly.
So along your trip, you also said you signed up cafes to a website called Refill NZ. What is it that they do?
So if you see like a round sticker which says Refill NZ, then you can go into that place, whether it be like a cafe, a bar, a restaurant. We signed up a laundromat, and then you can go in and refill your water bottle for free. It tackles not just the plastic problem, but also a health problem, because often what studies have found is that if you take away the bottled water option, people still buy a drink. It's just like another drink in plastic, which isn't water, which is likely to be fizzy drinks. So that becomes a health problem as well as an environmental problem. So what I think is really awesome about Refill NZ is that they're kind of encouraging people to look at the option of not actually buying anything, instead just getting this for free. Because, you know, like, water is 2,000 times more expensive when you buy it bottled than from the tap. And can you imagine buying like a $10,000 sandwich? It's pretty ridiculous, actually.
How do you feel like, as a young person, this climate crisis manifests itself in your own personal anxieties?
Oh, it's a huge thing, like one of the biggest things on my mind. There's a huge feeling of helplessness because there's only so much you can do as an individual. And, you know, what I do as an individual isn't going to change the world. And I try and live as if everything that I'm doing, the rest of the world is doing. But it's these big corporations and huge companies. Just feels like sometimes you're just pushing against a brick wall.
And I mean, you're talking about the power of individuals, but you as an individual have just undertaken this huge journey, which goes to show what an individual can do.
Yeah, and at the time we were posting lots on our Facebook page and updating lots of people and keeping in touch with everyone back home. And I don't think we really realised the impact we were having on people when we got back. Lots of people who I hadn't even talked to in years were saying they've stopped buying as many fizzy drinks that come in plastic. I think that people don't really realise how fast spread the impact they have is sometimes. Just your attitude can really rub off on people who you might not even realise or expect.
So obviously for some people, completely zero waste isn't practical for them in their lives. What would you say to those people?
I would say don't worry about trying to be all or nothing, because we don't need a few people doing zero waste perfectly. We need millions of people doing it imperfectly. It's a slow journey. Just tackle it bit by bit with what seems easiest first. Single use is definitely the first thing to tackle. It's really easy to get reusable bags or reusable takeaway cups all over the place. There's heaps of bathroom products out there, like bamboo toothbrushes, solid conditioner, which is more expensive than the bottled stuff, but it also lasts way longer because there's no water added.
You talked a bit about just the single-use bags. What do you say to those criticisms that apparently you have to use a reusable bag however many thousands of times in order to make it worth the equivalent production impact of a single-use plastic bag?
I think it depends on the type of material it's made from. Definitely the alternatives that we've got in supermarkets, which are also plastic or made from like nylon. I guess just use that bag as often as you can and maybe look at, instead of having the supermarket one, going with an organic cotton one. When Tess and I were cycling, we would often see reusable bags flying around on the road, which just completely goes against the whole point. Like the white plastic reusable ones that you can get with the green handles. We would see bags like that flying around the road. The problem is that people are not reusing them and not taking care of them. Like, we need to take care of everything that we have and have less, rather than using like more sustainable products at just the same rate as we are with the unsustainable products. The problem is not just that our items aren't sustainable, the problem is that we've just got way too much of everything.
In your travels, was there a particular piece of rubbish that you kept seeing cropping up everywhere?
We saw a lot of Chubba Chup sticks, a lot of lolly wrapping, and so many straws, lots of bags, and lots of pigs. We found heaps of pigs, I guess because they fly off people's lawns and end up on the streets and then in the gutter and in beaches. So using wooden pigs is a good idea. You can get them from places like Common Sense Organic, and obviously refusing all those other things as well. We don't need any of them. I mean, some people need straws, but there's alternatives. And if only the people who actually needed straws used them, it wouldn't actually be such a big problem.
Are there any other actions you'd suggest that people can take other than reducing their own waste personally?
An awesome way to take action when it comes to both climate change and zero waste, because they are connected. Plastic is made out of oil, and also plastic is contributing to the mass extinction that's happening in terms of marine life. So a really good way to do your bit, as well as on an individual level refusing plastic, is to boycott big companies. So you'll see there's lots of information and stuff that's been happening in the media recently, and also in the past few years, trying to get people to get Chubba Chups to change, and putting public pressure on them to change from plastic sticks to something more sustainable, because they are found so often in beach cleanups. So boycotting big companies and then putting public pressure on them to change as well is really important.
I can't reach the potatoes.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
I'm going to name this one Cynthia.
Go forth and prosper.